Oh, thanks, Matt. Now, we're going to need a few things this morning. So this is Vision Sunday. This is sort of a Sunday I like to set aside where we look at the year ahead, ministry of our church in the year ahead. So it's kind of a different and special week, and we've got something extra special this year. As Dave has already alluded to, we're going to be looking through our plan for the next couple of years. It's called Our Church 2017. So you're all handed one of these flyers on the way in. For those who are really looking, you'll see there's a little typo. We're missing a space in there. I tried to fix it, but I couldn't get it fixed until tomorrow. So it was either don't hand it out today or hand it out with a little typo. I hope you'll forgive us for that. You have no idea how my anal retentiveness was suffering this week. I lost sleep over that space. Anyway, you'll also need your Bibles open. But what we're going to be doing, most of us are going to be familiar with the content of this flyer because you helped shape it. So last year we were talking to the Bible study groups. All those in the Bible study groups gave their input. You know what's in here. This is the final version though. And so before we sort of get into our 4 points for the sermon today, I want to give a very quick run-through, walk-through of this brochure. So if you open up to the first page, you'll see there's just a little blurb from the senior minister. That's not to be read now. You are listening to the senior minister. You can read, take it home and read that later on, just introducing it. The following page is our mission. This is our mission statement. Now, our mission statement is what we're on about as a church. Right, what we're here to do each and every week. As Christians at Erwood Anglican, we want to be a church who brings glory to God through connecting people with Christ, transforming people in Christ, and serving people for Christ. Now, those who are on the ball and have their little sermon outlines open, you'll notice that there are 4 points for today. So I'm going to come back to our mission for the rest of the sermon. We'll push on, and the next is our vision. Now, a vision statement is where we want to see ourselves at the end of this plan in 2017. That's our vision. And our vision is to see our church members, all church members, exhibiting these 8 qualities. We want people learning about Jesus. We want people praying for God's help, growing in Christian maturity, expanding God's kingdom, training for their ministry or leadership, caring for our church family, helping those outside our church, i.e. charity work, and then finally serving to honour God. Now, over the page is our core values, our core guiding values that are going to help us work towards our vision. Now, this is our heart. This is the heart of this whole plan, right? The values. And you'll notice that each one of these values lines up with one of the lines from the vision. Learning, praying, growing, expanding, training, caring, helping, and serving. So what we want to see, our vision is basically to see our church members exhibiting these qualities. That's what our vision is. These are the qualities that we want to live by. And you'll notice that each of these qualities, straight out of the Bible, at the bottom of each of them, we've got 2 little Bible verses that are examples of where we get this kind of idea, these values from. They are thoroughly biblical. Finally, over the page again, we see our goals. Now, these are tangible objectives that we're working towards. As those in business will know, if you don't have concrete milestones you're trying to work towards, you won't go anywhere. You'll be like fumbling around in the dark. But if we know exactly what we're working towards, we're at least going to be moving in that direction. Now, these goals, they don't line up precisely with the vision slash values, but they do flow from them. So these goals, these specific milestones, will help us reach our vision by 2017. The last page is just a little blurb on our new logo, which again, you helped create, you as the church members. Okay, it was with your help we did this. Again, you can read that later. What I want to do for now is jump in and look at the basic shape of this plan, Our Church 2017, using our mission statement as sort of the skeleton for looking at that. So that's our 4 points. But like I said, you will need your Bibles open as well. We just had 2 Thessalonians 2 read for us. I'm not going to be referring to this passage in the normal way, like this is not an exegetical sermon of this passage, but it will, I'm hoping, help show us that our vision and our mission, our plan, is straight out of the Bible. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we'll begin. Let's pray. Our gracious God, I want to give you thanks for all those who have helped shape our church 2017, our plan. But we pray that whether we had a direct hand in its creation or not, you'll help us see that this is what you want from Earlwood Anglican. Please use my words over the next 15 to 20 minutes to inspire all of us, not just to sign up to this in principle, but to actively get behind it, Lord, as we connect people with Christ, transform people in Christ, and serve people for Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to run through this. There will be question time at the end, a short question time. We do have the Lord's Supper on this morning as well, so I need to keep question time a little shorter so we're not here for 2 hours. But as you can see from both the sermon outline and our little flyer, our vision, our mission has four lines, and it begins with this. We exist to bring glory to God. That's what we exist to do. Now, the reason we as a church exist to bring glory to God is because that's why everything in creation exists. One of the things that I've been really convicted of lately is the importance of God's glory. Isaiah 43:7 says, God's people, whom he formed and made, were created for God's glory. So not only are we created to bring glory to God, God did the creating to bring glory to himself. He himself cares about his own glory. Now, in some sense, that does sound a little arrogant and self-absorbed, doesn't it? Earlier this month, I watched our new tennis young gun, Bernard Tomic, defeat the world number one, Djokovic, in the Hopman Cup. It was a great game to watch, very exciting seeing Australia take on the world number one. But when Tomic was being interviewed afterwards, he soured it for me because he said, one of the first things he said was, yep, I give full credit to myself for this win. Now, we don't like it when people are sort of, you know, proud and self-absorbed like that, do we? So why is God like that? Why is God so absorbed with his own glory? Well, the answer is simple. You see, God is the most powerful, most awesome, majestic, beautiful, loving, kind, generous, smart, patient, self-controlled, you name it, being in existence. There is nothing else in existence that even comes close to rivaling God in anything worth being rivaled over. And so if God was not focusing on his own glory, he was actually trying to bring glory to something else, then that means he's trying to bring glory to, well, the second best or the third best or the fourth best thing in existence. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a God that's going to focus on things that are less important. I want the God who will focus on the most important, and that is God. Nothing else can rival him. This is why God cares about his own glory, because it's the best thing he can focus his energies on us. And he's created you and me for that end as well. The chief end of man, the meaning of life, is to bring glory to God. And that's reflected in the opening line of our mission. We exist to bring glory to God. Now, how are we going to do this? There's three bullet points that come after that. The first is through connecting people with Christ. Now, these three bullet points, they follow a logical order rather than an order of importance. These are not in order of importance. There's a logical flow, which we'll see as we move along. And the first is connecting. The first one is connecting people with Christ. So we as Christians, we share in Jesus' great commission, which is to make disciples of all nations. How do we do that? Well, let's turn to our passage. It highlights this for us beautifully. Have a look at verse 13 and 14. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved. That's how we make disciples, okay? To be saved. How are we saved? Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through, here's the answer, through our gospel. All right? Through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these two verses, they outline what connecting people with Christ looks like, but also what it doesn't look like for you and me. Okay? So to begin with, connecting people with Christ will not look like, for us, converting people to Jesus. Understand this. You and I cannot convert people to Jesus. We cannot make someone turn from their current belief system into following Jesus. Only God can do that. It's right there in verse 13. Conversion occurs through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. God works in people's hearts through His Spirit. And as verse 13 also says, it is God alone who chooses to convert. Right? We learned about this back in November. It's called predestination. Here it is again in verse 13. God chose you as the first fruits. It is God who chooses who will be saved. Our job comes in verse 14. Although it's God who calls people, He does it through preaching the gospel. And that's where we come in. We connect people with Christ through preaching the gospel to them. That means calling them to repent and avoid the coming judgment. Right? That means calling them to the truth, verse 13, the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14. It's all there in verses 13 and 14. And can I say, I think we did a brilliant job of this last year. Okay, we put on 4 excellent outreach events. Special thanks to our outreach team, who did a great job. And at all 4 of those events, we averaged something between 15 to 20 guests. So that means over 60 people last year heard the gospel preached through our outreach events. I am so proud of that statistic. Well done to all those people involved. It was brilliant. But here's the thing. Unless I'm mistaken, I don't think one person has started coming along to church because of those outreach events. Now, does that mean we've failed? Well, how can it? If our job is not to convert people. All that shows is that God chose in 2012 not to convert anyone, not to sanctify anyone's heart through our outreach events. Our job is to preach the gospel, and we did that to over 60 guests. Please understand that success in connecting people with Christ is not measured by numbers. It's measured by faithfulness. And we were faithful last year. We really were. Thank you to all those who were involved in that. But here's the question. What does our church 2017 want from us in this? Well, firstly, it wants us to pray. Point 2, praying for God's guidance and blessing. If you are not still praying through our monthly mission prayer diary, can I encourage you to please start back up again? What the prayer section says in our values is that God actually uses our prayers to bring about His good purposes. So God is going to work in people's hearts, convert people's hearts through our prayers. But He can't do that through our prayers unless we're praying. I think I've shared this story with you before, but in there was a great New York revival in the 1850s. And it occurred directly as a result of prayer. There was a clergyman by the name of Jeremiah Lanfear. He'd just started working in a church there, and he decided to put out a flyer to all the business people in New York, inviting them to a prayer meeting at his church. Now, there was a massive financial downturn at that stage, all right? That affected it a bit. It probably had helped people, like spur people into attending this prayer meeting. But after only 2 weeks of this prayer meeting, he had to change it from a weekly prayer meeting to a daily prayer meeting. There were so many people. Within 6 months, the statistics tell us, 10,000 businessmen were gathering each week to pray for the lost. You know what happened? 1 million converts were added to the churches in America. Imagine that happening in Sydney. That's a fifth of Sydney because of prayer. Let's not wait for a financial downturn to spur us into praying. Let's get started now. Pray for the lost. Make an impact. The second thing we do is outlined under expanding God's kingdom. As our values say, we want to be building meaningful relationships with non-Christians. That's either meeting new non-Christians or just working on our current relationships with non-Christians. Then we want to be praying for them. Right? Pray for these people, that they will avoid the coming judgment. And then finally, if opportunity presents itself, we share with them the gospel. Like I said, we're putting four more outreach events on this year. The first is that movie night that's coming out. That's a great opportunity to invite non-Christian friends along to our church. But if we can get another 60 guests at our events this year, we've done our job again. So let's do it. Let's keep connecting people with Christ. Well, the second point of our mission, transforming people in Christ. You can see the logical progression. Once we've connected them, once we've made a disciple, we want them to grow, to transform in their relationship with Christ. And the way we do this, again, is seen in our passage. Have a look at verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. So the way we grow in our spiritual maturity is by learning about Jesus from the Bible. And that is point number one on our vision and values. That stands at the top. That's how we transform people. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but my path to becoming a minister started all the way back at age 20. I've been a Christian my whole life. I just had been a teenage Christian, all right? Not a very mature one. Age 20, I was living in Melbourne for 6 months, but I'd been dating Deb for about 3 or 4 months. And we're on the phone one night. I decided to mention marriage. Do you think we could maybe one day get married? And Deb's answer was this. She said, yes, I think we could one day if you're the kind of man I think God wants me to marry. Very clever girl, that wife of mine. Now, I got off the phone, and I remember very vividly, and this is a turning point in my life, I remember walking down the hallway of my flat down there, and I was thinking to myself, well, what if I'm not the kind of man God wants Deb to marry? And after thinking about it a bit more, I determined, actually, I wasn't at that stage the kind of man God wanted her to marry. And so I said to myself, well, Brennan, you need to become the kind of man God wants her to marry. And that meant becoming a mature Christian. Now, I've been at church my whole life. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I prayed for one thing and one thing only. I said, God, give me a passion for your word. Give me a passion for your word. And that's all it took. After about 2 weeks, I'd already noticed a difference. I was reading the Bible. I was asking questions. I was wanting to find out more about God's word. And the more I learnt, the more I was transformed. Friends, if you currently don't have a passion for value number one, learning from the Bible, can I recommend praying for it? Praying for it. Value number three then tells us we need to take control of our own spiritual growth. Spiritual growth comes primarily through learning from the Bible. Value number three shows us three ways that Christians can be feeding themselves. We don't just sit in the pew waiting for someone else to feed us. We need to be feeding ourselves, okay? Number one, read the Bible yourself at home. Regular, personal Bible reading. Number two, weekly church attendance. Not fortnightly, not monthly. Be here every week. And number three, be a part of a Bible study group. Now, if you note, those last two there are about community. It's learning in community. While we can learn about God and Jesus in isolation, that's not how we were designed. But part of being made in God's image means being made for relationships. We're relational creatures, you and I. And being part of, a Christian community. A Christian community is not just one that cares for one another, which we do, and that's part of, you know, our vision here, okay, caring for one another. But it's also one that learns together. So if you are one of those people that's at church every second or third week, or if you're not currently in a Bible study group. Our church 2017 encourages you to rethink that. Because the thing is, if you're not feeding yourself, then you won't grow. It's like a newborn baby. Right? If a newborn is not feeding and growing, right, still alive, but there is real cause for alarm, isn't there? Doctors are worried about a baby that is not feeding and growing. It's the same with our Christian life. If we are not feeding ourselves and growing, then there's cause for alarm. Now, let's take control of our Christian lives, just like our church 2017 calls us to do. Brings us to our last point, serving people for Christ. So once people are connected with Christ, once they're transformed into Christian maturity, all right, the Christian life is to get out there and serve. And again, we see this in our passage. Have a look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, here it is, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Paul's prayer is that we are strengthened in every good deed. The Apostle James goes even further by saying that those who are not doing good deeds, their faith is useless. This is from James 2:14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? What good is it? Being involved in some form of active ministry is imperative for the Christian. That's what the Christian life is made up of. So important is this that the whole second half of our values, page 2 of our values, is dedicated to this end. Now, we're running out of time, but what do we value? We value being properly trained in our ministry or our leadership. We value people who are caring for our church family through fellowship and ministry. We value people who are doing charity work, looking after those outside our church. And we value people who are serving to the best of their abilities to bring glory to God. There it is again. Bring glory to God. Friends, it is next to impossible to bring glory to God when you're not doing anything for him. You've got to be doing something. But at the same time, just as bad as not doing anything is doing things sort of in a half-baked kind of way for God. Turning up with the kind of attitude, oh, look, she'll be right. I'll give my leftovers to God in terms of my service. That is not God glorifying either. So as we close, can I encourage you to do two things? If you are not currently serving God in some official capacity, right, our church 2017 encourages you, urges you to rectify that. Now you don't have to be on a roster of some description to serve, but if you're not on an official roster, seriously, you can go months without actually being any use to God. Months. Please don't let James 2 be speaking about you. Please don't let it be saying, what use, what good are you and your faith? Sign up to a ministry this year. But secondly, if you are involved in some form of ministry, whatever it is, music, morning tea, leadership, cleaning, whatever it is, serve as though you're serving Christ himself. Because you are. Turn up early rather than late. Come over-prepared rather than under-prepared. Serve joyously rather than grumbling. Okay? Do everything to the best of our abilities. Because that's how we bring glory to God. By doing stuff and doing it well. Well, time is up. I'm hoping you'll notice I have not covered everything in here. We'd be here for another hour if that were the case. Have question time now. You can ask any questions you want. But what this is designed for is for you to take home and read. You don't have to commit it to memory. You don't have to stick it on your fridge next to your prayer diary. Just read it and file it away for future reference. It's going to be coming up time and time again. But as you're reading through it, keep in mind our mission. Right? That basically shapes the rest of it. We were made for God's glory. That's why we glorify God. We connect people with Christ through prayer and preaching the gospel to them. We transform people in Christ through learning from the Bible in community, and we serve people for Christ by doing good deeds to the best of our abilities. Friends, this plan is before you. It was written by you. Let's get on board and get to work.